The study of the dark arts can lead the fool to the depths of madness. However, with the proper understanding, it can serve as a catalyst to enlightenment. Learn everything you need to know about the occult. Tarot, numerology, astrology, spirit work, chaos magic, hermetic philosophy, demonology, banishing and protection, and much more. The most comprehensive course on magic available. Occult science applicable to any path without dogma or pointless rituals. Students of the Order of Chaos are free and encouraged to pursue any spiritual or religious path that they choose. Learn to hack reality. For more information, visit theorderofchaosmagic.com/mysteryschool. New classes starting soon. Limited availability. The Order of Chaos Mystery School. Knowledge is power.
Are you able to step up and actually have that power? Or are you going to let it destroy you? Or are you going to try to run away and then realize that you can't run away because this is who we are?
The following message is transmitted.
Welcome back to the Order of Chaos podcast. Today, my guest is Orly Stewart. Orly is one of the most prolific creators in the occult space with several books, programs, a website, services, and now a new EP. Really excited to talk about that all today. Orly, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing great. I'm so happy to talk to you today and share all the creative stuff that I have going on here. I'm a bishop. I live in New Orleans and I work professionally as a witch and as a creator. And it has been a really productive year over the past 2 months. A lot of stuff has come out. So I'm really excited to get into that with you today.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I have your book right here and thank you so much for sending it to me with this beautiful artwork inside. I really appreciate it. I loved reading it. And I love your music. By the way, that's what was playing at the intro where you would normally be hearing my music. That was Orly's new EP, which I highly encourage you to go check out. I think it's streaming everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's available on all streaming platforms.
Yeah, it's awesome. It has this like 80s horror movie vibe to it that I think is so cool. And you've got a great voice. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to listen to. I was thinking to myself, like, this could be either driving music or ritual music. It works either way.
Yeah, it's definitely got a bunch of different moods. And it's written by myself and DJ Alucarda. So the project is called Succubus Waifu. And the EP is called Nightmare Baby, the Devil's Mixtape. And That's because the whole mixtape is written as an offering to Satan. So it definitely can be used as music in those regards as well.
Yeah, I could feel that as I was listening to it. I was curious to ask, what occult elements did you mix into this musical project?
Quite a bit. I don't want to go into a lot of the details about it because a lot of it has to do with my personal work with demons and things like that. However, the entire project itself is really riffing off the idea of working with Satan through music, really like the classic archetype of, hey, let me work with the devil in my music and see where that's going to take us. And so far, it has been really awesome. People who don't even like rap music have told me that they like it. So that's been really cool too.
Well, that's certainly true for me. That's not my normal style of music, but I listen to it twice in a row and it's fucking great.
That's so awesome. Yeah. It's horrorcore. So it combines a lot of elements as well with a horror movie type of vibes, but then it's also crossing over in a witch house. So we had that emerge in the goth scene, like in the clubs, and all of this stuff is kind of coming together to create something that's a little bit different. So we're also really inspired by a genre called sigilcore, where in hip hop, a lot of artists are really into witchcraft and magic sigils and demons. And it's really, really being incorporated into people's music and their aesthetic in their presentation of their media. So they'll have sigils for actual demons and stuff like that. And so it's been really cool.
That's really cool. That's not surprising to me, but it's not something I knew about, because I will admit I am somewhat of a hermit. I spend time with my kid. I go to my job. I do this podcast. And then aside from that, like, I don't really look too much at the outside world. So it's nice to get to talk to people who are in tune with that kind of thing. I've always known that sigils are used in a corporate way. They're used by all kinds of artists, but I love hearing the stories about it actually happening, right? Because you might see a logo or a piece of art and have no idea that it's a sigil.
This is blatant, though. Like, just as much as we are into the occult, there are huge groups of underground hip hop artists that are also into the occult and demons and chaos magic, and are incorporating the magical seals and elements into their music.
That's so cool. I'm so glad that so many people are presenting this stuff. I'm so glad that your channel exists, that there are people like really talking about this, right? And getting out there and doing it, because the older crowd, and I'm sort of in the middle of this, I'm currently working on a book with Peter J. Carroll, and I'm so grateful to be doing that because he's a hero of mine, right? But he doesn't do social media. He doesn't do podcasts. He doesn't, like, our correspondences are entirely by email, you know, and we're going to publish a book and kind of leave it at that. And I feel like that was the method and the modality of the past generation of magicians, right? Like, no, I do my own thing. And if you take it or leave it, right? But now we're all putting it out there. Like, you can't take it or leave it. We're going to shove it in your face in a way that hopefully you appreciate. You know,
in a sense, it's like the occult has been ruined by ruined by it being way more in pop culture. But I think it's also so cool to see that it is actually being applied in practical use to help people with their creative projects, and that people are working with these demons in ways that maybe people didn't think about before, because usually you're thinking about like basic needs of survival when you first start doing magic. It's because you really need something. But once you get more into it, you can refine your art to help you get more skills in arts and sciences and such.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, the thing that's important to me, I understand the old way of thinking about this is hidden information and you have to work for it. I totally get that. I totally get the not casting pearls before swine metaphor. You know, the Kybalion even says, I forget, I'm not going to paraphrase it, but it's just basically don't proliferate this information. You'll regret it. Okay. Now, I think that was true at one point, but we're living in a time period now where people need this information. They need it because it can help you be happier. It can help you be more productive. It can help you achieve your goals and your dreams. And so many people are lacking that. They don't even know how to go about starting it. They don't understand that magic is not just an occult practice. It's a mindset about I can do this. I just feel like it's a time now where people like yourself and maybe me too, need to, or have an opportunity to really help people live a happier life by you know, showing them that this stuff is real and that you can do great things with it.
Yeah, because there's also an importance in helping people fill in the gaps of all the information that's out there and to make sense out of it, because now there is so much information about witchcraft and grimoires and things like that all over the place. It can be really difficult for new people to make sense of it all or to know what to actually look at or what is a reputable resource for doing some research or finding out what actually is real. And that can be very difficult for people to navigate because there is so much. Like when I first started learning about the occult, I was watching the occult book collection for this was back when I was like 18. I was watching the book collection of this guy that was in jail. And so he let me watch all his books. And so that's when I first had access to like all these occult books. And it wasn't like you could just go onto a forum and ask, what is the demon Belial like? And then a bunch of people are going to start telling you their experiences. It wasn't like that at all. It was literally like I would take pictures of my magic rituals or my altar, or even take a picture of my journal with what I had done in a ritual and put that online. And people would be like upset about it because you weren't supposed to be sharing those things. And it really wasn't at all, it was not done. And so that was definitely one of the first hurdles that I faced in making my channel 12 years ago, because it was really such a taboo thing to do, even among occultists, that people really didn't want me to be sharing that information with people. But at this point, it becomes so necessary, since there is such an influx of people sharing information or like information from their experiences, but it's not like a long-term introspective into what maybe has actually happened. And that's one of the things that I always like to talk about, where there's a big difference in magic, like after probably like the 6-year mark, where you have some hindsight and reflection into the things that you've done. And then you can really see, like, did this actually work? What did I learn from this? And how can I apply these things forward? And things become a lot more serious, because there's the direct results in what we do, but then there's also the long-term results, and you can't know that right away. So that can really help when we're teaching people, talking about that kind of stuff.
It really does help. And also to have just had the time to get rid of the doubts, like was that my spell? Was that the magic I did? Or did I just get lucky? You need to get past all that through a cumulative experience and look back and say, no, like every single one of my spells worked, or everyone that worked that wasn't a terrible idea in the first place. Because I've done that a couple of times. I've, you know, earlier in my magical career, tried to manifest something that would have been terrible for me, and it didn't work out. Thank gods for that. Literally, I thank my spirit guides for not allowing that into my life, right? And that's another huge part of the lesson, is what do we use magic for? And I'm not here to moralize at anybody, but, you know, do your thing. But I appreciate, actually, I was watching one of your videos this morning, and you were talking about the kinds of magical work you want to do for others, which is, you know, to harm anybody, you know, animal sacrifice, that kind of thing. I really, really appreciate that, because there's so many people that think that that's what this is all about.
Yeah, there's a big danger in the occult for it to be an outlet for really negative energy and causing harm to the world and the environment. And it's this really in the same vein as like the people that join occult groups to like get away from their wife and avoid their family, and like that kind of thing, where it's a method of escapism from actual reality, because we really are living in the energy that we create. And I mean, of course, like there are traditions that I really respect that do involve those things, and the people who are initiates of those traditions, that is their right to do that. But what I'm talking about is like people just kind of making stuff up as they go along, not really being part of something, because that's really dangerous, especially if you're working with the forces of darkness, because it's just going to be like a black hole where it keeps wanting more and more and more. And then the question is like, well, how far is that going to make you go? Like if it's taking you to the point where you're doing things that are messed up, that's not making your life better at all. And that's something that is hard for people to face. And that also comes from when we get access to magic, like real magic. And that's also why Amenti Amari and I put the warnings in this book, even though it's dream magic. But regardless, when you're doing real serious magic, it's always going to make your shadow come up, even if it's not black magic. And by your shadow, for people that don't know what I mean like all the dark stuff that's stuck inside of ourselves, our traumas, even things maybe from like a past life or who knows what it could be, but all the worst things possible basically will start to come out, and you have to face those things and deal with them. And this is also why these arts have been so protected and guarded. And that's like the real danger in it. There's an interesting thing that I reflect on greatly where it's like, okay, well, these spells, if you read, you know, the grimoire books, they talk about all these extravagant grand things that you can allegedly do by summoning demons, like, you know, destroying kingdoms and what have you. But the thing is like, well, why can't anyone just pick that book up and then do it? Well, these things must not be real. Well, that's not the situation. It's really like, just because something can be done doesn't mean that reality is going to let that happen, or that it is even in your own personal power to be able to do that. And then also the other thing is when you become very deep in witchcraft, it changes your perspective on everything around you. So we really begin to notice how we're very connected to everything else around us, like one another, the universe, nature. Everything is connected, and it really takes a lot of self-reflection and processing when you're doing occult work, aside from just like material world gain, to work on your own spiritual evolution. Because if you don't do that, then you're just going to become tormented by the darkness of this world, because that's really what there is. And you're going to start noticing it more and more the more you become sensitive to magic.
Yeah, I think that people need to pace themselves when it comes to magic. And one of the reasons for that is that, so you were mentioning just doing magic for material gain or using it to set yourself along a spiritual path, like a spiritual journey that's meaningful to you. And I would say those are really the same thing, but you need to understand that before you can manifest it. So if you're going to, you know, there's nothing wrong. The first spell I ever did my entire life, I think it was 14 years old, was a money spell, and it worked. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. I think I manifested.
Oh yeah. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all. But I can tell you after 20 years, getting into alignment with your higher self, with that spiritual journey, is how you're going to manifest magnificent things into your life, because you're going to clear out a lot of that negativity that's holding you back. And you might not understand that at first. You might pick up a grimoire and be like, okay, I want this, this, and this, and I'm going to do these rituals to create those things. But if you're creating them from a place of trauma and lack, and you still have that gunk in your subconscious, then they're going to come through in gunky ways. You know, and it can be quite dangerous, right? You might try to manifest a specific type of person, but maybe you haven't done this any shadow work at all yet, or really reflected on yourself, and your ideal partner is actually a super toxic relationship. So what are you going to manifest? A super toxic relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that people don't consider that I think are also really important when it comes to getting results in a way that is beneficial, which is you have to think about like, how are these results actually going to be able to happen in your life? Are you creating the circumstance where this can actually occur in a way that's going to benefit you? Because you hear so many times, and I've known people personally where they've done like a money spell and then someone in their family passes away and then they get inheritance from that money. So like, right. You always have to figure out like, how can I make this actually fit into my reality? Because if you leave it up to chaos, then you're really just letting the spirits do whatever they want. And then the other aspect of it too is there's spirits that like will trick you and deceive you or pretend to be something else and will just feed off of you and what you're doing. And so that's also something to really be careful about and work on your own spiritual maintenance. So like taking care of everything that's around you, not letting all that stuff fall away, taking care of your own self. All those things are really important. And I think that it's really interesting because we have so much info online, like what you were saying, but now it's a matter of figuring out like, what do we do with that? Well, if you just follow what someone else has written before you, you're only going to ever get to a certain point in what you're doing. So it is good to be creative and experiment and learn different things, but it's also important to understand that there was a value in the formula of these ancient grimoires and why they were preserved and collected by kings and the royalty through time and guarded and hidden, because there is value in those things. It's not all just a bunch of dogma, but it is also enshrouded in dogma, which is how those texts could survive for so long.
One of the things I wanted to touch on today is that you've made a lot of changes since the last time we've talked. You've sort of gone rogue in terms of your magical practice. You have created a lot of new content. You changed the name of your channel, I believe. So, tell us a little bit about these changes.
Yeah, absolutely. So I decided to add some changes to my YouTube channel because when I meet people and I tell them that my channel was called Orly Stewart, it's kind of hard for people to remember. So I changed the name to Cyber Witch, which is the thesis essentially of the channel anyway, because it is witchcraft in the cyber streets. And also a huge aspect of my magic is incorporating spirituality into technology. And a big method that I incorporate is putting my spiritual self into the computer. And this is definitely something that I think I've talked about like somewhere a long time ago. But when even you and I doing this podcast and the other magical folk watching it, we're all using technology to add more to the magic of this reality. And that is adding our spiritual essence into the technology. And so it is growing and learning from us. And I initially started the channel with a video where I tried to invoke the internet, and it is on purpose, like, extremely cringy. And I did this whole thing with like keyboards, and it's on my YouTube channel if people want to check that out. But that was done to basically like try to learn from the internet and be able to incorporate that in my witchcraft. And so it's a bit of an homage to that, which is what got me inspired to keep making the content, because I felt like aside from getting information out there, because I used to teach magic classes and classes on how to summon spirits and demons in an occult organization. And I wanted to put my teachings on the internet for people. And that's what started it. And so I felt very spiritually driven and inspired to like incorporate that. And seeing how things have evolved over this past 12 years is really outstanding. Like how many more people are putting themselves out there, sharing their experiences and journeys, telling me that it's helped them. It really means the world to me, because we are all connected. And it also, I mean, selfishly is a way of me sharing myself with people as a spiritual person and trying to help other people see like how that transforms someone over time. And I think that I definitely have evolved tons over the past 12 years. I became way more healthy. I got sober off of, you know, substances and alcohol. I got into yoga and exercise, and I really changed my relationships around in my life, where I keep my circle very small and I really focus on the things that have the greatest potential to help inspire other people, but also keeping the creative drive going, because with YouTube, it can get kind of tricky where, you know, people like a certain kind of content. So you want to keep just like making that kind, that stuff. But I think it's also important to have that self-reflection and share things with people, because it's going to end up happening where stuff gets super, super weird. And that's really the reality of it. A lot of people will become tired of being part of occult groups or organizations or networks or whatever. And the fact of the matter is, it's not actually spirituality's fault that these things happen. It's always the human element that makes things become corrupted. And so people will find, just like the Hermit card in the tarot, we have that light inside of us to connect to everything. And that's why I think that that this book is pretty cool, because the whole thing is based on dream magic. So you don't have to go anywhere really to explore the strangeness of dreaming. However, you also have to understand that things become extremely weird when you're accessing entities that are not human. So one of the things in the book that I contributed to it is a ritual that I designed to catalyze your contact with preternatural intelligences. So the idea is very heavily inspired by the work of Austin Osman Spare and automatic drawing and automatic writing, who is one of the occultists that really inspired me initially when I was first getting started as an artist as well. And so the idea is, this rite helps you to be able to create automatic drawings and automatic writing. And it is contacting entities that we could best describe as alien, I suppose. That's the best way of describing it. And so you do this incantation and visualizations that are adapted and inspired by stuff that I got from the Golden Dawn and Aleister Crowley's material in Thelema, and then changed to make it in this system with aspects from Austin Osman Spare to help you to be able to actually get a flow state where the spirit can just like use your hand to draw a picture or to get a message or to write out a number. And that can be super difficult for people, like actually making contact that makes sense, or even that's like valuable in any kind of way or has some sort of, you know, fruit from it, can be very difficult for people. So with this, it, even if you don't actually want to do the ritual, the idea is to help inspire you. How can I get images and messages from spirits when I'm conjuring them, and how to access that mental state where the spirit essentially guides you to communicate through it? And then you can use things like numbers as well to check the information. So what I initially started using, like when I first started summoning demons with the Ars Goetia, I was told to use this book and the Sephiroth from inside it. This is 777. It's for people not familiar with that book. It's by Aleister Crowley, but it's primarily like material he ripped off from the Golden Dawn and published. And so it's got lots of tables of information. So in it, Sefer Sephiroth has a whole catalog of numbers that is a system of magic known as gematria, where the different numbers have meanings. And then you can use things that all equate to the same number as having some sort of mystical correlation and meaning by all the words that equal the same number, where you can get insights out of all the words that equal the same numbers. And so that's one of the things that you can also do in this method or in spirit communication in general. That was one of the things that I was initially taught when I was summoning the demons. Like, if you can't get a message, try to write down this number, and then that's a good way of checking it. There's a whole video on my channel from probably like maybe 10 years ago where I talk about this. I think it's called How to Test Information from Spirits or something like that. And I show a whole method of using the numbers and making all these things to help you. And this is because you don't want to just be like sitting in your room, imagining things, and then thinking that you have uncovered the secrets of the universe, or you've uncovered some sort of like alien race or something, because you were just sitting imagining in your room. It either has to be some sort of tangible thing that's outside of your own self, so you can prove to yourself that it's real. And that's the thing with all of this stuff. Like, when I first got into magic, I didn't know like what was possible or not, but I wanted to try, and I was willing to put myself through spiritual discipline in studying things, doing yoga, meditation, all that kind of stuff, to put your body into the state where you can spiritually evolve, to try out these things and then to see for myself what it was like, because I had experienced paranormal experiences and I knew there was something more to this world, but I didn't really know what it was. So that's really helpful to have some way of checking what you're doing, so you know that you're contacting something that's outside of your own self, that can actually, and something that can provide you with information that's actually helpful to you in some way.
Numerology is incredibly useful. And I think something that, you know, just let me explain this to anyone out there who may be new to witchcraft, or maybe you don't know this or whatever, reject it if you want to, I don't know anything, but but let me say that numbers are symbols. And part of my magical understanding is to recognize the material world as a series of symbols, and to be able to discern those symbols. Like, everything in your life is a symbol for something energetically. And there are various forms of numerology. And you mentioned gematria. I personally use Chaldean numerology, but the difference between gematria, Chaldean, or Pythagorean numerology are nuanced. They're all essentially giving you the same block of numbers and meanings, but they're tuned a little bit differently, right? And I'm not going to get into which one's better. I don't think that's a real thing. I think that, you know, it's
which one works best
for you, right? Like, they're different, right? They're just like slightly different languages. But by way of example, okay, a couple of years ago, I was looking for a house, and it was really, really difficult. It was in the Toronto area where you're from, so you know how hard it can be to find housing there.
Oh, yeah.
I kept going to different houses looking for a good place that would be good for my son and I, so it had to have certain things, right? Every house that I looked at, the address added up to the number 9, every single one. And 9 in Chaldean numerology isn't ascribed to a letter. It's more like a period at the end of a sentence. And it like, if we're talking about the tarot, for example, 9s are, you're almost there. It's almost the end. You're almost there, right? And so when I finally found the house, my address ended up being 99. And I didn't give up. And I wanted to give up, but I didn't give up because I knew I was almost there. I knew that the message was, you're almost there. Just keep pushing, keep looking. And then finally ended up at 99 whatever street. And, you know, it was a great place to live. So there's so many ways in which you can use that language of symbolism in your real life and interpret messages from spirit. And that's one of the most powerful ones. I feel like astrology and numerology give you very, very clear messages that you can look at a chart and say, okay, that's what it is. And that's necessary to balance out, like you were saying, the messages that you might get from spirit that are harder to interpret, especially if you're less experienced. There are so many things in what you just said that I want to respond to. So I'm going to try and take them a little bit one at a time, okay? They may be out of order, but I did want to mention briefly that you talked about your video being intentionally cringe, okay? And one of the things that I appreciate most about you and your content is that you're not pandering to the algorithms, that you are authentically yourself in every video, and that is why, I think one of the reasons why, you know, you also said that your name, I think this is before we started recording, but the name Orly Stewart might be kind of hard to remember. And I empathize with that. My name is Sonray, and it's like, nobody remembers that. They don't even know how to say it. But within the occult world, everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows the name Orly Stewart. You're quite prolific, and you've done all these great things. You've written a number of books. You, like, you know, everybody in my inner circle watches your show. Like, everybody knows who you are. And I think it's because of that. I'm not going to say that I'm not saying you're intentionally cringy. I'm just saying you're very authentic. And I love that about your work. So that was one
thing. I have fun. I'm not afraid to have fun. And that's what makes me want to keep making the content. And that's also the beauty of Succubus Waifu, where we're taking the zaniness of magic, even, you know, to the extent of how it appears in like anime, and making something that is obviously fantasy. So the occult is already super weird. It's already super weird. Like, I live in a very, very strange reality, and the paranormal is definitely real without a doubt. But there's also human creativity and fantasy. And so I thought it would be fun to have an outlet in place for that, where you can take the fantastical aspects of the occult that people will make in hyperbole or exaggerate or write fantasy books about or fantasy movies, and then think about, like, well, what if that was actually real? What would that be like? And then that also serves as a way to contrast that with the reality of things. And
that mixture of fantasy and reality is, magic lives right in the middle. And it's about engaging both your brain hemispheres to create something powerful into reality from your imagination. I mean, that really is at the core of it, what I think magic is. I like that a lot. It's cool. So Peter J. Carroll, who wrote Liber Null, just right there, which is like the quintessential book on chaos magic. He writes in the book, this is his quote. It's older than that, but it's, nothing is true, everything is permitted. Right. And one of the things that I like to just throw out there every once in a while is, like, I'll put it on Twitter, is, nothing is true, everything is ridiculous. Because that's kind of how I see the world, and I love it, right? I think that the world should be ridiculous, because it makes it more interesting and more fun. And on that note, there's a real danger to taking occultism way too seriously. Not that it's not serious, it is serious, but there's a mental state of seriousness that can be very dangerous. And I think that's when you get into that place where maybe you're sitting alone in your room, taking things too seriously, and you're stuck in your own mind. And then you either open the door up to negative entities that are going to play on that seriousness and feed into your ego and tell you things that aren't true, or you're just going to imagine some nonsense and believe that it's messages from spirit. And I think that I see so much of that happening all the time.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty scary.
Yeah, I deal with that all the time with my clients, and like helping people sort these things out.
One of my students came to me last week, and I'm not going to say who or get into details or anything, but talked about a family member who had maybe had this happen to them, where they had come into contact with something that was telling them the world was going to end. And I'm like, don't, whatever that is, do not listen to it. Right. Because this, exactly. this trick has happened before. Those entities have gotten into people's minds and said, the world's going to end and blah, 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 blah. And what happens? These people end up on the news and, or they become cult leaders, or, you know, it's don't go down that road. If some entity starts telling you that the world is going to end, shut that thing out right away.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the same with like spirits telling you that they hate you. And just right. if you have bad thoughts and things like that coming into your head, like you need help. Like you either need to go to a doctor or you need to really reevaluate what you're doing spiritually. Like maybe you need to just stop what you're doing, clear it up, cleanse the fuck out of your stuff, and then start fresh. Yeah. Doing something spiritually that makes you feel good and creates a good energy around you, because there's so many different things that you can do. You don't have to do any one thing. There is absolutely no one group or one place or one system or anything that exists that is the one that has all the secrets. Everybody likes to say that they do. And if someone does, that's dangerous, like straight up, because they're just trying to control you and make you beholden to them. And that happens all over the place. The same with like controlling people by fear. Yeah. By like saying that the world's going to end, and to like listen to them, because then it's just playing on people's primal fears, I think.
To me, magic is not a religion. A religion can be a system of magic, but it is not the arbiter of magic. There are plenty of religions, and I would never engage in an argument with anybody about which one is correct. To me, that's like arguing which language is correct, which computer operating system is correct. They're all fucking correct. They're all different and they all work. It's just which one works for you. But people who don't really maybe have that understanding or that perspective will be like, no, this one is correct. Right? Like magic is only Wicca or Thelema or whatever. And I'm not saying that those are fine systems. If you use those systems, that's great, but they're not the only one. There's plenty out there and they all work. I don't know if they all work, but I've seen evidence that many of them work in my own life too. And that's what led me to, you know, becoming a chaos magician, is that like, I want to be multilingual. I don't want to speak one language. I'll use whichever one works for me at the time, you know? And I think that that's, for me, a healthier approach to magic is to not get locked up in that idea that it's one thing or one belief system.
And that's why it's been really helpful to try learning about different kinds of magic and spirituality, and then see how that makes you feel and how that affects your life, and then go from there. And always know that the source of everything in reality is coming from inside of you. Like, people love to misquote Crowley, where they talk about how he said that the demons are all coming from inside of our minds. But if you read the full essay that comes from, he goes on about how everything in reality is coming from inside of you. So think about that as giving yourself some spiritual authority over what you want to bring into your life. And that's why I'm so careful about what I'm going to do. Like, I'll do work to protect people and protect myself, but I'm not going to go out of my way to make the world worse because it's already suffering enough. And I like to think of myself as like a reality shifter, where I'm trying to shift reality as an occultist by every day that I wake up and go to sleep, that I'm trying to change things in some way, because I have experienced miracles and things that are beyond human words of explaining to you at this time. And I know that there are fantastical things that this world is keeping from us, but they are there for literally everyone to access within your own self. And that's the absolute best place to find it, because you can then be your own judge of, is this actually good for me or not?
Yeah. And speaking of misquoting from Crowley, people really have a hard time with that one. And I'm just going to give away the kind of, not ultimate, but one of the principal teachings of my own mystery school is related to that. So here, you know, you can all have it for free. Yes, those things are inside your mind, right? But so is literally everything. So we get in this argument about, like, are the gods real or not? Right? This is something I kind of go back and forth with Peter about. Are the gods real? Well, what's real? Nothing is real. Okay. Literally nothing is real. The gods exist, the spirits, whatever. Yeah. They exist as a part of your mind, of your psyche, but all of your external reality is a reflection of your inner psyche. So they're just as real as anything else. And that's understanding the hermetic principle of correspondence, as above, so below, as within, so without. If you really understand that, then you understand that these things that are all in your head, everything's all in your head. There's nothing else. So it's, you have to take it seriously, because what's in your head is what's in your outer reality.
Yeah. And it's not going to just make good things happen to you all the time. It doesn't work like that. It's not like some movie. It's going to make you deal with the literal framework of your entire life and give you the keys to curating that yourself. And then it's like, well, are you able to step up and actually have that power, or are you going to let it destroy you? Or are you going to try to run away and then realize that you can't run away because this is who we are? And as a society, I think that spirituality and even like animism is so beneficial to culture that when we are lacking it, it causes a lot of other problems, and it leaves people with the desire for something more, or a feeling of loss that they don't really understand.
Emptiness.
So that's why I try to like have things where it can branch out to other people that may not be interested in spirituality in general. And I think music is a really good way of that as well.
Absolutely. I think everyone, most people probably familiar, most people listening to this podcast have heard the phrase, every thought is a prayer, every word is a spell. Well, I want to add to that in that every piece of music ever written is a spell. It's a spell of a kind, right? Music, it has this incredible effect on us, right? Music is vibration. Music is rhythm, it's tonality, it's words. If we're talking about, now I have, since I became a more skilled occultist, I've started to avoid music with lyrics more and more and more, unless I really like want those lyrics in my subconscious. Like I grew up listening to death metal, and I don't think I've listened to it in quite a while because there's a tremendous amount of negativity in there. And I'm not knocking it. Like, don't get me wrong, I love that music, but I haven't even listened to Metallica in quite a while because I'm not angry. I don't want to be angry. And I realized how that influenced me as a teenager, and I was angry, right? Again, not knocking that music. I love it. But I'm careful because I know the power of music, and I know how it has a way of getting into your subconscious like nothing else does. And that's also one of the reasons why, you know, you'll see a lot of spells that rhyme in a sort of hokey way. Well, that little bit of rhyme gets it much deeper into your subconscious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's also why I wanted to make the EP, because I wanted to write music for people that are feeling kind of lost, or they're dealing with like bullying, or just dealing with like the hardest things in the world in social situations, or dealing with being a woman in the occult and things that like may not necessarily have been all put together in the same place before, and give people an outlet for that, because I know that I'm not the only person that has had those kind of experiences, and it really helps people to have something to help them feel more empowered and strong, and that like the spirits are on your side, even though people in the world might be shitty, that like you can still like be strong and just keep going. And so I think that's really important too, to think about, because even if like everyone around you isn't doing magic, if you are, it will make like things come out all around you. So you have to really face a lot. And that also creates a lot of personal growth too. And the demons and the dead help me rhyme. So that really, really helps me put the rap tracks, DJ Alucarda writes the music, and then I write the rapping to it. And so the dead and the demons help me with my rhyming and figuring all that kind of stuff out. And it's been really cool because I never rapped before I did this. So it was kind of an experiment and I really love doing it. And we are going to keep making music. So right now I'm working on the first music video for Succubus Waifu. And so that's going to come out soon. And if people want to check it out, we have released the whole thing for free. So you can find it on any streaming service. You can find it on YouTube. Or
the link will be in the description of this video.
Awesome. Thank you. And if people do like it, please help out. You can get a copy of the digital tracks. Bandcamp is a good place to do that if you want to help out. We're independent artists, and it also helps to get it to reach a bigger audience. So that's always appreciated as well.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, I know we've got to cut out. We both have things to do today. But there's a tremendous amount of Lilith energy in your music, I think, of that empowering, like rebellious energy. And that's definitely what it comes to mind. So, okay. That's all we've got time for today. We're going to cut out with another clip from Succubus Waifu. Thank you for being here, Orly. And thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you. Ghost is gonna spy.